God is good anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Do we believe God is good this morning?
Yes.
Why shouldn't we? How could we ever believe anything else? How could we ever believe anything else than that truth and that reality that God is good? That God is good, and He invites us to taste and to see His goodness.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So God invites us to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. So we're back this morning where we began last week, exiting the old and entering the new. We've not just moved from one year to another on the Hebrew calendar and on the Gregorian calendar, the calendar that we tend to use here in the Western world, but also we've moved to a new decade. In the Hebrew calendar, we've moved from the 5770s to the 5780s, and in our calendar, we've moved from the 2010s to the 2020s. And of course, every time you hear 2020, you're going to associate that with vision, aren't you? Perfect vision. Amen. There's a lot of prophetic words coming. I've been having a look at what other people are saying, what other people are hearing from the Lord, and it's all, things come differently, differently packaged, differently worded, and yet you just see them, so many of these things just streamlining and dovetailing together.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes they fit just better where you're at. You know, sometimes we run around trying to hear what God is saying to someone else, somewhere else. But we really need to hear what God is saying to us, right here.
Right.
Amen. When Jesus gave these words to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos to pass on to the different churches, they were all in the same region, and yet they were all local churches within that region, and He gave a different word to every one of them. Amen. And He said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, "Give this message to the messenger of that church." Some people believe that refers to an angel. I believe it believes to the pastor of that church, the leader of that church, the person who was responsible for feeding the people of that church, for communicating the message. Amen. Remember when God spoke to the prophet Joel, "My old men shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions." You know, and I believe that very often, that the visions of the young men are birthed out of the dreams of the old men.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Well, let's come back. I remember we were talking about the 3 R's. Remember the 3 R's of the kingdom. Real, relevant, and radical. Glory to God. And we need to understand that we are here to experience the real, the relevant, and the radical. Too often we miss the real, and so we don't bring something relevant to a world out there that's dying without God and without hope. And we are here to introduce them to the God of hope. Hallelujah. We are here to introduce them to heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Come on. It's got to be. That'll be radical. Amen. Remember, there's two parallel kingdoms. There's a kingdom of this world, and there's a kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. I believe these are synonymous. And when you're born again, you move from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you start to adopt the language of the kingdom. And when you begin to speak the language of the kingdom in the kingdom of this world, they think you're an alien. They think you're from another planet. Don't be surprised when you begin to speak the language of the kingdom. And so sometimes what happens is people backtrack. Because they don't like to be treated like an alien. They don't like to be viewed as an alien. Because it can be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, recognize you don't fit anymore where you used to fit.
Yes.
You don't fit in the pub anymore.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
You don't have the same language anymore. You don't have the same, come on. You don't think the same way anymore, because you don't think the same way, you don't speak the same way. Everything's changed. But sometimes people, when they encounter that they recognize, hang on a minute, I don't fit in. Some people can't handle not fitting. They can't handle being a misfit. So what do? They moderate their language. And either, so they come to church and they speak kingdom language, and they go back into the world and they speak world language. That's called double-minded. What does the Bible say about a double-minded man? He is unstable in all of his ways. So if you're feeling a little bit unstable this morning, or if you've been feeling a little bit unstable over the last few weeks or months or years, then the Bible gives an answer to your instability. Stop being double-minded. Stop talking like the world and like the church. There's no point, nobody will ever depend on you because you're unstable. We are here to bring something different into this world. Something concrete. Hallelujah. Something that has foundations. Something dependable. Something reliable. Something that is real, relevant, and radical. If the words that you're speaking don't sound radical to the people in this world, they're the wrong work. What did Jesus say, John chapter 3, verse 3? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again and new from above, he cannot ever see, nor be acquainted with and experience the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people, I believe, who get born again, but never see, never become acquainted with, never experience the kingdom of God. That's a tragedy. That's the biggest tragedy ever. He said you must be born again, your thoughts must be born again, and you must begin to think new creation thoughts. I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm a brand new person. It's only right and proper that I don't think the way I used to think. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, that's who he is. So as we think in our hearts, that's who we become. Now what does it say in Romans chapter 10? It says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is defined as right standing with God. The right to come into God's presence without a sense of fear, or guilt, or shame, or condemnation, or any other negative emotion.
Hallelujah.
Who declared us righteous? God himself has declared us righteous.
Yes.
When Jesus cried out, it is finished, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God himself saw to that. He ripped it open, and he said, you can now come in where no man could ever come before, but one man, once a year, who had prepared himself sufficiently, and if he hadn't, he was a dead man. But now everybody can come in through that veil into God's presence. And what can they expect there? Judgment? What can they expect there? They get beat up and chucked spat back out again, show them the door, a couple of bouncers come and grab you and throw you back out again. No, 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 he says they can expect to obtain mercy.
That's right.
We've just been singing about it. Let us never lose our wonder in regards to his mercy.
Yes.
That we can come right into the very throne room of God and be welcomed.
Yes.
As we were just worshiping there again, this one I was thinking about, I used to think, well, maybe the translators of the word, they didn't translate that word either because they were afraid of the connotations, you know, the fact that, but see, a lot of people like to say, well, God, Daddy, but I want to tell you this morning, but I'm going to tell you how it is for me. I'm just going to keep calling him Abba. You know why? Because that's what Jesus called him.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's what Jesus called him. And I believe that's about as intimate as you can possibly get with our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
I've tried Daddy, but it never really sat comfortable with me. It always just seemed a bit, I don't know why, I'm just sharing what out of my heart. But I tell you, Abba, 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 Abba. Now, the fact that it's there, a lot of people never get a revelation of what it means, but it's there for a reason. It's left there for a reason. I believe that's the intimate word that God would have us to come into his presence employing. Abba, 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 Abba. I'm happy to call the Father what Jesus called him.
Yeah.
Amen. If I'm born again, I need to have a new name. Amen. The old names don't work in relationship to my Father in heaven. I've got a new name. His new name is Abba. He's not God anymore. He's still Almighty God. He still sits enthroned in the heavens, but he's my Abba.
Yeah.
And I've got to start thinking that way. You know how tough it is when an old Presbyterian died in the wheel, hard seat sitting, brought up not even to move in church and you get slapped? Come on! But to actually rethink. Abba. I'm telling you how tough it is. There's lots of things I have revelation of, and yet I still struggle with them in terms of Abba. Abba. I've got to start there. But what's the first thing every parent is waiting for from the moment their child is born? Anything that even sounds like it, even remotely like it. You know, mama's waiting for mama, dada's waiting for dada. How exciting is that? How long has our Father in heaven been waiting for you and I? Maybe he's been waiting for 40 years. But I tell you, you want to excite him this morning? Do you want to bring a smile onto the throne of God, on the throne of heaven this morning? Abba, Abba, Abba. Start thinking, Abba. Let all of your thoughts begin with, Abba, I've got a problem. What's my first thought need to be? Abba. Abba. That has to be my first thought, and that will govern the course of my life. Do you know the most shocking thing that happened on the cross? You know, the most shocking thing that happened on the cross was when Jesus' language changed.
Yes.
I'm not saying he went from Hebrew to Aramaic or back to front or down to the back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his language towards Abba.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point in that horrendous process, he said, "My God. My God. Why have you forsaken me?" I'll tell you until you get Abba on your lips. He went through that so Abba could be on your lips forever, for all eternity. From the moment you're born again to the day, the endless day of eternity, so Abba can be on your lips. He switched language to purchase us that right. And I tell you, if he's still my God, you will experience a lot of forsakenness in your life that you were never, ever, 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 ever supposed to experience.
Ooh,
yes.
Because it's Abba who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." It's Abba who says, "I'll be there for you in every circumstance and situation." In the Old Covenant, he revealed himself in so many different ways, in covenant language, in so many different ways, in so many covenant names, but you know, he brought them all together in the New Covenant.
Amen.
See, Jesus came to reveal to us a name, but the name isn't Jesus. The name is Abba.
Amen.
The name is Abba. Now you only have access to Abba through Jesus. But Jesus brought us into the Father's presence and said, "Here you are. Here are the sons and daughters that I paid and purchased, that I bought with my blood. Here's the fulfillment of the plan that when we came together and we said, 'Let us make man in our image and our likeness.'" And when we decided way back then, before the first man was ever created, that if this plan went belly up, then I would be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And here is the fulfillment of that plan. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I've got to think Abba.
Yeah.
I've got to start there. Every moment of every day, I've got to start there. Every situation, every circumstance that comes up in my life, I've got to start there. Abba, Abba, Abba. That's where Jesus started, and that's where we need to start.
Mm-hmm.
As he thinks in his heart, so is he. I am. No longer, we sing a song because it's scriptural, because it's straight out of the Word of God. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Jesus said another time to his disciples, "Unless you become like a little child, you'll never be able to enter." Come on. Unless you become like a little child, or you can walk through the streets of Jerusalem today in 2025780, and you'll still hear the little children running behind their Abba, 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 Abba.
Yes. Thank you.
He says, "You'll not enter. Oh, your entry has been paid for." Imagine standing outside the door of a lantern with a film you really want to see. And thinking, "I've got no money, I can't get in." And somebody says, "Well, I've already paid for you." "Oh, I've got no money, I can't get in." "But I've already paid for you." No. "But it's free entry." Even better. "You don't have, I've got no money, I can't pay. Oh, I feel so bad, I can't get in there." It's free. Somebody else already paid for it. You see, understand, nothing is free. Anything that is given to you for free is something that somebody else already paid for.
Yes.
I gave out free calendars last week. Who paid for them? I did. Just in case I'm gay. So there are three of you, but there are three for me. And salvation is free. But we can't even begin to calculate the price that was paid to purchase it. Healing is free. Not just for some, it's free to all. And it begins with that realization. Who paid for it? Abba paid for it. God so loved. Who did? Abba so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten son, and whoever would just simply, he's not asking for much. Just simply believe. And they would not perish, and they would not miss their purpose. Something that you bought in the supermarket and you put in your fridge so you could enjoy it. And then you pick it up one day and you go, oh no. It's past its sale by day. It's past its use by day. You take the top off it. Oof. Yeah. It's perished. It's missed its purpose. Missed its purpose. What a tragedy. You said, I've come that you may have and enjoy life. In all of its fullness.
Yeah.
Don't let your life miss its purpose. God so loved the world so that none should perish, none should miss their purpose, but every last one should come to experience eternal, everlasting life that doesn't begin when you finally enter into eternity. No. The moment you're born again, you enter eternity. Because you need to understand that the high and lofty one who inhabits where? Eternity. He's now Abba.
Yeah.
If he's not Abba, he's not accessible to you.
Uh-huh. That's right.
But if he's Abba, he's accessible to you. Which tells me that eternity is accessible to you because you're now a child of eternity, not of time. No wonder you talk like an alien to the people who are still locked into the kingdom of this world. If anyone, say anyone, is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes.
But if he doesn't think new creation, he'll never experience the reality of being a new creation. What's the first of the three R's of the kingdom? Real. Reality. It's got to be real. And it begins with Abba. No matter how uncomfortable that might feel on your lips at first, it's got to be. It's your new language. I'm kind of heavy this morning because some of you have struggled with Daddy, and I know you have, and so have I. But not Abba. Because I can go straight to the Word and it's there.
Yeah. Yes.
In fact, the Word of God tells me that the very first thing the Holy Spirit did when he came into my life was he opened up that cry.
Yeah.
The religion tried to shut it down. Religion tried to close it down. Religion tried to hide that revelation to begin with. But somewhere, if you're like me, somewhere deep down on the inside, even if you couldn't quite articulate it, you knew that religion wasn't scratching the itch.
Yeah.
We're talking about religion. Oh dear. You catch that? No, let it fly. Hallelujah. Two parallel kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. And when we're born again, we automatically, supernaturally move kingdoms. And we become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Which makes us an alien in the kingdom of this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's move this forward. Hallelujah. When Jesus says, you know, about seeing the kingdom, he's not talking about seeing in the natural. He's speaking about revelation knowledge. Amen? He's speaking about that knowledge that comes when you begin to embrace the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, some people try and do church according to the way the world does things.
Yeah.
Some people try to turn the church into a business. Come on. Well, I was just reading in the Gospel of Mark this morning where Jesus walked in the temple and said, no more business in here, folks. No more business in here. This is not for sale. And sometimes people have taken the revelation that they have received by the Spirit of God and try to can it.
Yes.
And sell it to somebody else.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I've got the guts to say what I'm thinking right now.
Not for sale.
Mm-mm. And people buy it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest tragedy of all. People buy it and then they wonder why it doesn't work for them. You know what happens then? Tesco shows up in town. You know what happens then? All the little shops close and paint me a picture.
Yeah.
So and so ministry shows up on the world scene. Notice the terminology. What happens then? All the little, little. You've got to hear what God is speaking to you where you are. And what so-and-so is saying over there, unless it's a word for the whole world, ain't relevant to you.
Right.
There you are.
Amen. That's right.
I know what it's like for Tesco to shut you down. When we first got married, we were delivering milk around the west side of Lewis. It was not a bad little business. It was certainly made enough money to keep us afloat. And then Tesco showed up and started undercutting. You see, when once Tesco moves in, they don't want to make room for anybody else. And the same thing happens when the church allows business.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing. You need personal relationships with people.
Yes.
See, there was a day I could walk into the local shop and the owner of the shop knew my name.
Yeah.
And I knew him. And there was a level of trust established right there.
Yeah.
Come on. I've been offered by email, so maybe you've been offered the same thing by email. I've been offered a relationship with one of the largest groupings in the world right now on the charismatic stage, and it's, mind the language.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three levels. They're offering you three levels. First level, I can't remember, something like $70 a month. The top level is like $172 a month. Still doesn't get you contact with the top guys. Doesn't get your phone number. Let's say pop in for a cup of tea anytime you're passing. $172. Now I'm not have a poverty spirit, I don't think, well, most of the time anyway. I don't have $172 a month to chuck at that. I've already told you, you want a word for what God is doing right here, you can come to my house anytime. I said a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, I might not look that happy to see you, but I'll lure them to the idea. I'm trying to be as honest as I possibly can. Most of the time I'm just going to be happy to see you, but sometimes you might get me in a bad moment. And I might go, oh no. I'll tell you, and we'll have fellowship and we'll get to grips with what God is saying right here, right now.
Yeah.
And it won't cost you anything. Feel free to bring a packet of biscuits, for that's up to you. What a shakabusa. Hallelujah. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Come on, Brian reminded us last week who we are. We're a royal priesthood.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Find a tune out a little while. Come on. We're not just a priesthood of believers, we're a royal priesthood. And I said it to her kids years and years ago. I said, if anybody asks you who's a minister in your church, you tell them that you're a minister in your church. That's alien to people. In the world, and people who are in worldly church thinking, still bound by that religious thinking, that's alien. People have asked me before, are you a real minister? I said, I don't know, you'll have to hang around and go and see. I said, I tell you what, it pinched me, it hurt, you know what I'm saying? Is that real enough for you? Then they want to know, where did you study? Where did you this? What's your credentials? How many? Come on. Where did that come from? It didn't come from the New Covenant. Nowhere. Anywhere. Every single last one of you is a part of that royal priesthood.
Yeah.
I actually meant to say that at the beginning of the service, when we're in the New Year, it's time to remind us of some things, you know? Then you get a few things trucking again. This is a, when we are here in that time of worship, it's a time when the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. But we are here to flow in the Holy Spirit. Every single last one of us has, can be a voice from God in these times.
That's right. Amen.
But not longer being a spectator. As long as you're not a spectator exclusively. Every one of us has the right to participate. As the Spirit moves us, as the Spirit leads us and quickens us. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen?
Yes.
We've got to be connected with the head. He's the head, his name is Jesus. Who connects us? The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We need to recognize we're here, we're part of his body. See, God's heart is to challenge our old ways. Our old ways that have been learned by tradition from our forefathers. And sometimes it's our charismatic forefathers. Well, actually, Paul said to, this is just, I'm just saying this, man. Paul said to one of the churches he was writing, he said, you have many teachers, but you only have one father.
Yeah.
So what's this business with the forefather? Well, you've got to lay down with you guys, you know what I'm you need to say, you need to, how many fathers do I have? God wants to challenge our old ways. He wants to encourage us to abandon them. Why? Because as long as we hold on to the old, we can't fully exit the old. And so we can't fully enter the new. In Matthew 15 verse 6, he says, for the sake of your tradition, the rules handed down by your forefathers, you have set aside the word of God, depriving it of force and authority, and making it of no effect. Do you know that problem we had with electricity last week, or over this last few days? I looked at that fuse box, that couch, which I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. And I command you to function and to operate the way you're supposed to function and operate in the name of Jesus. I went back to the 11 and I think it was my son-in-law Matt, he said something like, I wonder how long it was. So I'm expected to stay on this thing. He said, why did the Lord tell you?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, I just took authority over it. Well, it lasted a couple of hours and beat him up a minute again. So I thought, I put the kids in. He didn't know where I got. He came back through the gates under the kitchen with a torch around him and he went, oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm speaking of that thing again. And I'm asking the Lord, why is this not working? He said, go tell my people they have the authority to say stop. Well, he didn't specify say stop the what? Just tell them they have authority. If Jesus can calm a storm, I can get that fuse box working again.
Yeah.
With the same authority.
Yeah.
I tell you, so far so good. And stop. You feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
You feel like a complete and utter alien. But who cares?
That's right.
I'm doing what he said to do.
Right.
I'm trying what he said to try.
Amen.
I'm practicing what he said to practice.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
What do I want? I want to see the perfect will of God. I want to see heaven on earth. And if I don't practice, I'll probably never see it. Jesus said something. He said, his words are spirit and life. Don't ever separate spirit from his word. His words are spirit words. Everything, every answer to every question you're asking right now is right there in his word. The only the Holy Spirit can reveal you the truth from that word. Otherwise, Paul was very, you'd say he was almost impudent. He said it's dead letter. He said the letter kills. I mean, have we seen it do some damage? Have we seen the letter kill? Oh, yes, we have. But the Spirit brings that word alive. I'm maybe getting a wee bit ahead of him. Let's try this. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door, Jesus said. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. Now, I want us to get to this. And this is the substance of this message. I've preached this over the last 20 years. But it's important that we understand that a door is not only a way in, but it is also a way out. And so if you're ever going to enter in through Jesus the door, you have to first of all, at the same time, exit and come out of where you were before.
Amen. That's good
for you. And if where it kind of establishes it, where do you come out first? Well, it's in your mind.
Yes.
Do you know that repentance? Repentance means it's a decision that results in a change of mind.
Amen.
A change of mind that in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. See, a lot of people think repentance is saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is saying, I have changed.
Yes.
Repentance is saying, I'm no longer a citizen of this world. I am now a citizen of heaven. I know. Repentance is saying, I no longer speak like a citizen of this world. I speak as a citizen of heaven. I speak as a child of God. Abba, 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 Abba. I want to hear what Abba has to say.
Yes.
Then I'm going to do what Abba says. Does it say that the very foundations, in fact it says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, it says we shouldn't be laying again the same foundation, we shouldn't have to lay the same foundation over and over and over again. And the first thing is repentance from dead works and faith towards Abba.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's our Father whether we believe it or not. He's our Father whether we're trusting Him or not. And He longs, just like the picture Jesus gave us of the Father waiting for the prodigal to come home. Sometimes he's just waiting for us to come home, to get the realization that there's no place like home. There's no place that's just thinking Abba, Abba, Abba in regards to everything. Well, didn't seem to work for you. I tell you, it started to work and it got better and it got better, and I'm telling you, I'll keep on doing it because I'm doing what he said to do. I do that in relation to everything. I tell you, at 2 o'clock this morning, I woke up and I got my phone. I thought, can I get something on my phone? And I started looking up some scriptures because there was just something stirring in me. You see, the Bible says that we're transferred from death to life.
Yes.
When? When we're born again.
Yes.
But if you do not exit the old death mindset,
yes.
You can't enter into the new life.
That's right.
Mindset. But where is death in the new life mindset? It's gone! The old is gone! Death has died! Death has passed away! Ha ha!
It! Yes. Different death to life. Hallelujah!
But you know, most people, they don't. At the very best, they're in between the two, back and forth. Death, life, death, life. They still acknowledge death as if it's something to be acknowledged. They talk about death as if it's something to be revered.
Preach it.
Come on.
Bring it home.
No, that's death. We don't do death anymore.
Amen.
We don't do death.
Woo.
We're in life now.
Right.
And I have got to fully exit life, death. Remember, just as we were worshiping again, remember that lady from Florida, beautiful elderly lady in her 80s, just so quiet, graceful. She was an intercessor. Twice she said this around our table. She might have said it one time in the meeting. That God had spoken to her on more than one occasion and told her that she could choose when she left this world.
That's
someone that has left death behind.
Yeah.
She could choose.
Right.
How alien is that to religion?
Yeah.
How alien is that to churchianity?
Yeah.
How alien is that to religion ease?
Disease don't have to take you out.
Come on, somebody. Sakamu sakata. Come on. That's the death is God.
Yes.
And I went last night and I started looking, I went to John 19:30. When it says that Jesus cried out with a loud voice and then he gave up his spirit. And so in John 93, that's when he cried out, "It's finished. It is finished." And then he gave up his spirit. Listen to what it says in Matthew 27, in verse 30, it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit."
Yeah.
Why? Because it's, listen to what it says in John chapter, I think it's John chapter 10. It says, "Therefore my Father loves me," John 10 verse 17, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing," say nothing,
"amen,
shall by any means harm you or hurt you." Well, what's the one thing that people are expecting to be the final hurt and harm? Death. No, that's not going to hurt me.
Right.
Do you know, I said this the other day, Psalm 91, you know the most out there covenant statement that I can think of, the boldest covenant statement that I can think of from the Word of God is contained in Psalm 91. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. That's alien. That's as alien as it gets. Jesus gave up his spirit. I went back to the original Greek. There's several different ways you could define it, but he handed it over.
Yes.
He released it.
Yes.
He yielded it.
Yes.
Why did he do that? To show us that no one can take our spirit from us.
Yes.
That even death itself cannot touch us. That we can choose, when just like the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we can call in the children and say, "Well, it's 100 odd years now, maybe about time, you know. Let's get hands laid on the generations. Let's pass over this mantle, just the way it's supposed to be, nice and organized. Come on,
yes.
Come on, seal it like it's supposed to be." Hebrews chapter 2, he came to deliver those who all of their lifetime were in bondage to what? To the fear of death. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I don't know about you, but it comes banging on that door just about every day more than once. And you've got to say, "No, no, 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 I resist you."
Yes, thank you.
"I will not yield up my spirit to you, you deceiver, you destroyer, you charlatan. You liar!
Yes.
You intimidator! Get out of here! You gotta hear this. Because God's spoken to you. I said, God, you gave me a prophetic word when I was just nothing but a brand new believer. And you told me that you were going to use me in healing. And I asked him a few years ago, a bunch of years ago, I said, "Where's all this healing stuff?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you told me you were going to use me in healing." He said, "What do you think I've been doing?" I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, sit down with me, and I might get a chance to tell you. If you stop fussing, sit down, let me tell you something. For the last, I don't know how many years it was by then," he said, "but you have been establishing people in the reality that they don't have to get sick anymore."
That's right.
"I gave you an upgrade! What are you moaning about?" But God, they don't want to listen. "I don't care. You just keep telling them." Stop behaving like a wee spoiled child. Get back to business. Come on. And I want to tell you, we want to see people raised from the dead, but I want to get people to a place where they're not dying like flies anymore. They're not yielding up their spirit. You see, death has, it's almost like death has become a friend.
God.
And that's not what the word says. You've got to come out all the way out of death and right over on the other side, and death will never be a friend again. He'll never be regarded as a way out. No, you came out of it.
Thank you, Lord.
And you entered into life.
Yes.
That's right.
Don't ever expect me to be my own funeral. That's one of my loud up boys. Come on! Is Donnie here? No, he's gone. He's dodging again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As we said, it's cold out there, man. Windy and wet. It's a rainy season. Do you know why? Because death was unclean. If you touched a dead body, you were unclean.
That's right.
We need to see death for what it is. It's not part of our new life. You have to exit it completely. I'm trying to get the message across here. Completely leave death, death thinking, death, all of the attitudes that are attached to death. You know what I hear every morning, first thing, I get to work tomorrow morning, one of the first things I'll hear is, any news today? And you know what they want to know? Who died?
Yeah.
Has anybody died? Death is the focus of the day. And you even try and drop something in there of kingdom language, boom! Who said that? Here we are. Well, I'm not going to take this much further. We've got a whole lot to say about this. There's a lot of other stuff we need to come out of, but it starts there. It starts there. And it starts there. We've come out of the place where people get cut off, into a new place. Come on, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a relationship now with someone who ain't going anywhere. With an Abba who's our Abba for eternity. Come on, somebody. We don't ever have to think, oh, I wonder what it'd be like if. We don't live by if faith, we live by faith. And faith will always take you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. From one level of glory to another level of glory. To one level of understanding and experiencing God's goodness to another level of understanding who he is and his goodness. Come on, somebody. Our experience of his goodness is supposed to grow and grow and grow and grow and reach such a dimension that when we talk about it, we really are an alien.
That's right.
Except around the people who are going on the same journey.
Yes.
Do you know that every day that Joshua and Caleb had a conversation with those that they were around for 40 years, they sounded like an alien? I guess there were some times they just had to, well, in fact, Moses saw what was going on and he took Joshua and he took him right outside the camp so he didn't have to have these conversations. He don't say something about Caleb, it says Caleb had a different spirit in him.
Uh-huh.
And it would appear that Caleb could remain in the camp all on his own.
Yeah.
I'm sure he sneaked out with a wee chat with Joshua now and again. I'm sure that the Lord arranged some fellowship there, but I tell you, he could stay there. Come on.
Yes.
And hold on to his confession.
Yes.
Hold on to his statement that God will bring us in to this land, because he is able to do it. And it's a good land, just like he said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, just like he said. It's a land abounding in fruitfulness, just like he said. And he will bring us in there. We know he got there when he was 85 years old, and the first thing he said was, I want what God said I could have.
Oh, yeah.
What happened in the 40-odd years between these two things? Everybody else around him died. But you see, Joshua and Caleb, they were never going to die in a wilderness. No. They were never going to die in a wilderness. The church even gets songs. Oh, this world is but a wilderness. I used to love songs. I used to sing them as loud as I did. And I'm waiting for deliverance. In other words, I'm waiting to get out of here.
Yeah.
But I've already come out of here.
Yeah.
I come out of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the way out. Oh, I felt a few pulls, so I get you back in. Come on, you can't leave. You never said that to me. He said, you can't leave. I've had you too long. I'm not going to let you go. Let me go. Get out of here.
Right.
I heard a voice, an audible voice. I could feel the fear was so tangible. Every hair was standing up on my arms and every other part of my body. And I heard a voice. I was almost like paralyzed. I heard a voice say, I said, "Oh, I've been wanting to say, I didn't know I was a brand new believer again." I said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, that's the first line, as far as I know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and that darkness had to go, because the entrance of God's word brings light, and light is more powerful than darkness, and when light comes, darkness goes. Hallelujah. The old is gone, death is gone. Where do you come out first? In your mind, in your thoughts.
Yes.
What's the first thing we need to get established there? What's the first thing the Holy Spirit establishes there? Abba, Abba, Abba. Don't let religion, don't let your forefathers, or grandfathers, or six fathers, or anything else steal any of that from you. Don't let them rob you. Don't let them pull you back. Don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them hit you with a, you sound like an alien nonsense and start bowing down to that mess. Let's stand up together. Come on, Shaka. It's hard to go anywhere when you're sitting there. Come on. Hallelujah. Shabaraba Sikotusaka Babasaka. Harabu Shaka. We're talking about exiting the old and entering the new. And I believe that wasn't where I was thinking we might be going this morning, but the Lord just took us where we went. Hallelujah. Amen. I said the Lord just took us where we went. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I believe that He's done it for a purpose, because this is so foundational, so fundamental. And I believe that even in the circumstances and the stuff that we've been experiencing over the last, in the last few weeks, in the last few days, and even stuff we've spoken about this morning itself, this is very relevant, that we need to establish people in the fact that you have control over your spirit.
Yeah.
You have control over your spirit. And I know that some of this, maybe it's even rising you right now, because you know the scripture, or you know some of the scripture. One of the most dangerous things is knowing some of the scripture. And then you're even thinking right now, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And people have taken that to believe that God has already appointed the day of your death. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying that one day, unless Jesus comes before then, everyone will die. But you know when you died? If you're born again, you already died.
Born twice,
died once. Kumbu shakabasa. So your day of dying is over. And death is never a friend, it is always an
enemy.
Get back to the word. Read what the word says. Death, enemy, enemy, enemy. The last enemy.
Yep.
To be overcome. You've got to learn how to overcome it. By saying, I will not yield up my spirit to death, because Jesus did that for me.
Yeah.
So I would never have to do it. Come on. And He did it because He knew He had the power to take it again. Hallelujah. When we are baptized, folks, you see, there's only one way to come out. And that was established as a picture in the Old Covenant when Moses led the people out of Egypt under the blood. And they walked down the road a little bit, and what were they confronted with? An impossible, impossible situation. The Red Sea. And the enemy is right on their tail. It's right on their tail. So what happens? God supernaturally opens up the Red Sea so that His people can cross, and He closes it again over the enemy that has been pursuing them. You know what it says? In Corinthians it says that they were baptized.
Yeah.
In the cloud and in the sea.
Yeah.
As when you were baptized, that's why it's so important that you get baptized as a believer, and that you're established in the truth of what it means, because it's not just ritual, it's not just custom, it's not just something that's a good idea to do, it's not just something that we can have a wee party afterwards. No, it's essential that you're established in the truth of what happens, because in Romans chapter 6 it says that you die with Christ, you're buried with Christ, and you are raised again with Him to live a brand new life in a brand new way, and death is gone for you.
Yes.
And if you start to employ that reality in your life and start to use that and start thinking that way, hang on a minute. Abba, 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 so loved me that He gave Jesus so that if I would just simply believe in everything that He accomplished at the cross, I cannot miss any of my purpose, and I can live a full life. And I'm already living an eternal life right now. I'm living by the eternity right now. I'm going to start talking like I'm living by eternity. Hallelujah. I'm going to start acting like I'm already living in eternity. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you that we have come out of thinking death. You've called us to exit that completely, once and for all, and forever, and to enter into a brand new way of thinking where we only think life. Life, life, life. A life that will never have to be lived without Abba. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your truth. Thank you for the truth of your word that always comes to release us into a new place of freedom, a new place of understanding, a new place of walking, in a place of victory. Kobo Shaka, and embracing everything that you've made available to us through the cross, where every negative was turned into a positive. Hallelujah. Where every minus became a plus. Hallelujah. Ho Rabba Shakaba, the place of great exchange. Hallelujah. Lord, if we haven't made it all the way out yet, help us this morning by your Spirit to run through that gate, through that door that leaves death behind and enters into the fullness of life, to be enjoyed in all of its fullness, to fill up and overflow it everywhere we go, so you might receive all the glory, because yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
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 You're more real than the wind in my life.